This is For the Record program number 1131, BioPsyOp Apocalypse Now, Part 7, Moderna Uber Alles. This is being recorded on May 25th of the year 2020, and I am, of course, Dave Emery. We are going to be taking a look at Moderna, that is a biotech firm that we have already spoken about in our last program. We talked about the fact we reviewed from that very important Whitney Webb article from the Last American Vagabond blog that Moderna was among the companies that had been selected to develop a COVID-19 vaccine. A great many companies are working on vaccines. Moderna has been underwritten by DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, and their technology, mRNA, basically to inject mRNA or messenger RNA into a person's body, has been seen as very promising. However, it has never been tested on human beings, as we noted last week. No vaccine has ever been developed and successfully put into human use in less than 4 years, and there is now talk of having Moderna's or someone else's vaccine ready for use by the end of the year, and this would be an unprecedented span of time. And in light of the fact that not only has this type of vaccine never been used on human beings before, but that it is seen as having a great many perils associated with it, and we're going to be talking about that, the proposed rapidity with which the vaccine will be available is a source for concern, in my opinion, and that has been shared by others. In addition, the program under which Moderna's vaccine is being touted is called Operation Warp Speed. That is the Trump administration's ultra-fast program for developing a vaccine for the virus that produces COVID-19. It is headed up by a guy named Moncef, M-O-N-C-E-F, Slaoui, capital S-L-A-O-U-I. He is the former chairman of the Moderna's product committee, a member of the board of directors, and the former chairman of Moderna's product committee. He had over $10 million in Moderna's stock. That soared to over $12 million on Monday. Then the stock declined. We're going to talk about that. As we will see, Mr. Slaoui also is tied in with a great many other tech companies and holds stock in a bunch of other firms, including GlaxoSmithKline, in which he has, by some accounts, 240,000 shares, or over a 500,000 by some other counts. The program that he heads up, Operation Warp Speed, is under the supervision of the Department of Health and Human Services, whose chairman is a fellow named Alex Azar, a former Big Pharma lobbyist. The fellow who will be working with Moncef Slaoui is four-star General Gustav Perna, P-E-R-N-A, the head of the Army's Logistical Materiel Command, and he was basically tabbed for his position by General Mark A. Milley, M-I-L-L-E-Y, I may be mispronouncing that. He is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. As noted last week, the military is not in the business of maintaining the public health. The military is in the business of war fighting. And in light of many other things here, the situation vis-a-vis Moderna, I think, is a cause for concern. This program is going to be the first of several in the BioPsyOp Apocalypse Now series, dealing with what might be termed the concentration of wealth virus. We're going to be talking about that in a number of different contexts, but it should be noted that there is a great deal of money to be made in connection with COVID-19, not only drug treatments, and we will be talking about remdesivir and Gilead Sciences again next week, but also there is a great deal of money to be made by people in these companies, and as we will see, both in connection with Moderna's mRNA vaccine and in connection with Gilead's remdesivir drug, these vaccines and or drugs, treatments, are market drivers because of the dire economic situation and the fear that many people apparently justifiably have about COVID-19 and about the economy. Any good news is not only seen as reason to quote buy unquote, but in addition, companies like Moderna and in particular Gilead are companies that are being valued very, prized, I should say, very much by hedge funds and wealthy investors. Next week, we're going to take a look at a group within the Trump administration called Scientists Against COVID-19, or perhaps it's against coronavirus. It really is misleading because those scientists, unquote, include people like Peter Thiel, Michael Milken, and others. They are billionaires with interesting, shall we say, political views and legal histories. But note that things like remdesivir and the vaccine, the mRNA vaccine of Moderna, are things that are not only enriching Moderna and their executives, they are also market drivers. So there are two different levels on which the Moderna company and also remdesivir could be said to be part of the wealth concentration virus phenomenon. We're going to begin by taking a look at an article from the New York Times of May 19th of 2020. This is by Denise Grady, and it talks about the run-up in Moderna's stock last Monday after some ostensibly promising or incompletely promising results were leaked. That not only caused Moderna's stock to soar, but it also caused the market as a whole to soar. Reading from this article, the promising early news sent Moderna's stock soaring by more than 25% on Monday afternoon and helped drive Wall Street to its best day in 6 weeks. Trading on Monday had all of the characteristics of a rally focused on prospects for a return to normal. The S&P 500 rose more than 3%, stock benchmarks in Europe were 4-6% higher, and oil prices also jumped. Among the best performers in the Standard & Poor's 500 were travel-related companies like United Airlines, Expedia Group, and Marriott International. So note that not only are key investors in the position to make a lot of money if, for example, they learned in advance that the Moderna results were promising, but note again the Trump administration's obvious political investment in Moderna. Also note that Moderna has been capitalized to the tune of some $483 million so far this year, and that on top of the enormous valuation that Moderna has. We're going to take a look at a 2016 article from Stat News that talks about that. Bear in mind that producing a vaccine, even if it doesn't turn out to be all that effective once or down the line, I guess one could say, if in fact it has some deleterious side effects, if in fact it can be trundled out and touted and administered, it could very easily help Trump get elected, and that is reelected. It's not all that encouraging given that Trump has opined publicly about the viability of ingesting disinfectant, and then when queried about that by reporters, he gave a remarkable performance in which he pointed to his head and said, well, I'm not a doctor, but I have a very good you-know-what. If A kid in high school biology class were asked a question about an infection or a disease by his teacher or her teacher and responded that, well, perhaps they could ingest disinfectant to treat the ailment. And when asked by the teacher, really? They responded by pointing to their head and saying, well, I'm not a doctor, but I have a really good you-know-what. They would be sent to the dean, so it is not all that encouraging, given the potential benefit to the Trump campaign of an ostensibly successful vaccine. That is, well, not something I find very encouraging. Now, about Moderna and what was viewed as a promising press release about the initial tests of their vaccine. We'll talk about some serious questions about that. Note that on Friday, when Moncef Slaoui, the head of Operation Warp Speed, and a fellow who was in charge of the product development committee for Moderna and held over $10 million in Moderna stock, he hinted at promising results he had seen of a vaccine. Then on Monday, the press release indicated good things about Moderna. More about that in a minute. Note that on Friday, the CEO of Moderna, a guy named Stefan Bancel, B-A-N-C-E-L, sold 11,000 shares at a weighted price of $65 for a prearranged plan. He netted about $724,000 for that. Also that very same day, the Lorenz, L-O-R-E-N-C-E, Kim, K-I-M, the CFO of Moderna, sold 20,000 shares at a weighted average price of $65.53 for about $1.3 million. Both of those trades as predetermined. Then on Monday, Lorenz, Kim both sold and bought $241,000 shares. The shares that he bought were at a weighted price of $12.45 for $3 million. The sale of the same number of shares, 241,000, was at a weighted average price of $82.12 for 19.79 million shares. That added roughly $4 million to Kim's coffers. Then on Monday night, after, again, Moderna's stock had gone up 25% because of the optimistic report, Moderna sold $1.34 billion, that's B as in billion dollars, stock to help fund manufacturing costs associated with their vaccine. And then on Tuesday, a report from Stat News that we will talk about put a damper on that and led the price to decline to $71 a share from over 80. And then it was back up 3.8% when trading resumed on Wednesday. Note that so far this year, Moderna's stock has gone up 270.2%, and a lot of that optimism comes from hundreds of millions of dollars of infusion of federal monies. Now, about Moderna and the interesting stock deals from Market Watch of May 20th of 2020 by Tommy, T-O-M-I, Kilgore, K-I-L-G-O-R-E, and Jamie Lee, G-A-I-M-Y, Lee. Moderna's stock soars, then dips, after questions arise around the limited data shared about its COVID-19 vaccine. Now again, Stefan Bancel, Moderna's CEO, and Lorenz Kim, their CFO, both sold stock on Friday in accordance with prearranged arrangements of transactions. Moderna's stock was trading at $23.46 at the beginning of the year, and this is a company which has never marketed a vaccine and was the beneficiary of $483 million in federal funding earlier in the year. From the MarketWatch article. On Friday, CEO Bancel sold 11,046 shares at a weighted average price of $65.56. for about $724,200, part of a predetermined plan a predetermined trading plan adopted December 28, 2018, according to a form for filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also disposed of 1,577 shares as part of a bona fide gift. Also on Friday, CFO Lawrence Kim sold 20,000 shares at a weighted average price of $65.53 for about $1.31 million, also as part of a predetermined trading plan. Again, although the plans were predetermined, they made a lot of money. Now, on Monday, after the release, Kim exercised options to buy 241,000 shares at a weighted average price of $12.45 for about $3 million, also as part of a predetermined plan. At the same time, Kim executed sales of 241,000 shares at a weighted average price of $82.12 for about $19.79 million. That means Kim netted about $16.79 million on the simultaneous buy and sale of shares. With Monday's stock price surging following the announcement of early data on its vaccine candidate, potentially adding $4 million to Kim's coffers. Now, the above-referenced announcement by Moderna, we'll talk about that in a minute, led to a dramatic increase in Moderna's stock and boosted the market as a whole. And that evening, Moderna announced that it would sell $1.34 billion in stock, which had soared that day, gone up 25% because of that announcement, and to help finance their operations. Again, from the MarketWatch article, shares of Moderna closed at a record high of $80,000 on Monday after the company released a slice of positive interim clinical data from the first phase of its COVID-19 vaccine trial. That night, it announced it would sell $1.34 billion in stock to help fund manufacturing costs associated with the experimental COVID-19 vaccine. Then, as questions began to arise, after a Stat News article that we will discuss, the stock went down almost $9 to $71.67. Moderna's, again, quoting from the MarketWatch article, the stock took a nosedive on Tuesday, closing at $71.67, likely due in some degree to a Stat News story that questioned a lack clinical clarity in the data it provided to investors. And more about that article. In a clinical trial data disclosure on Monday, Moderna shared that 8 of 45 participants in its COVID-19 vaccine study developed neutralizing antibodies, a decision that Stats' Helen Branswell described as, quote, a reason for caution, unquote. It did not share information about the immune response to the experimental vaccine in the remaining 37 participants. Again, 45 people were in the trial. They shared information about 8, none about the other 37. Nonetheless, after that initial decline, after that decline on Tuesday, the stock went up again on Wednesday. The company's stock was up 3.8% in trading on Wednesday. Year to date, Moderna's stock has soared 270.2%, even though the company has no approved products. And in this regard, we should note that there are a number of problems with Moderna's vaccine. Not only did they only disclose data about 8 of the 37, 8 of the 45 people who had been tested, but the information that they did disclose was inadequate in a number of different ways. We're going to read now from that Stat News article, that's STAT News, from May 19th of 2020. It is by Helen Branswell, B-R-A-N-S-W-E-L-L. Vaccine experts say Moderna didn't produce data critical to assessing COVID-19 vaccine. Now, Moderna's much-touted report on its vaccine, which again triggered an upsurge in the markets on Monday, appears to have been, as I said, incomplete at best and perhaps, at worst, interpretation purposefully deceptive. From the StatNews article, while Moderna blitzed the media, it actually revealed very little information, and most of what it did disclose were words, not data. If you ask scientists to read a journal article, they will scour data tables, not corporate statements. With science, numbers speak much louder than words. Even the figures the company did release don't mean much on their own, because critical information, effectively the key to interpreting them, was withheld. Again, even the figures the company did release don't mean much on their own because critical information, effectively the key to interpreting them, was withheld. And as we'll see in an article to follow, the opaque nature of disclosures by Moderna is apparently characteristic. Now, another aspect that alarmed people who were observing this was the fact that the trial of the Moderna vaccine was a joint NIAID, National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Diseases. That's part of the NIH. The director of that is Anthony Fauci. And normally when they are engaged in a trial, they are very forthcoming and make popular wide disclosures and the high-profile announcements. That was not the case here, from the StatNews article. The National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases has partnered with Moderna on this vaccine. Scientists at NIAID made the vaccine's construct or prototype, and the agency is running the Phase 1 trial. This week's Moderna readout came from the earliest data from the NIAID-led Phase 1. NIAID does not normally hide its light under a bushel. The Institute generally trumpets its findings, often offering Director Anthony Fauci or other senior personnel for interviews. But NIAID did not put out a press release Monday and declined to provide comment on Moderna's announcement. Now, of the problems with the information they did disclose, again, they only released information about 8 of 45 volunteer subjects, and even that is somewhat oblique. The interpretation is oblique. The company's statement led with the fact that all 45 subjects in this analysis who received doses of 25 micrograms, two doses each, 100 micrograms, two doses each, or a 250 micrograms, one dose, developed binding antibodies. You know, that's binding antibodies. Later, the statement indicated that 8 volunteers, 4 each from the 20 microgram and 100 microgram arms, developed neutralizing antibodies. Of the two types, these neutralizing antibodies are the ones you really want to see. We do not know results from the other 37 trial participants. Now, that does not, I should note, mean that they did not, the other 37, did not develop neutralizing antibodies, because that is more difficult to test for. However, again, certainly the results are not as sweepingly optimistic as they were made out to be. Again, from StatNews. This does not mean that they didn't develop neutralizing antibodies. Testing for neutralizing antibodies is more time-consuming than other antibody tests and must be done in a biosecurity level 3 laboratory. Moderna disclosed the findings from 8 subjects because that's all it had at that point. Still, it's a reason for caution. Now, they also did not note which subjects or how old. The 45 test subjects ranged in age from 18 to 55 years, but no further information was disclosed about that, and that is problematic because one would expect that younger volunteers would generate more neutralizing antibodies, but COVID-19, quite obviously, is more severe for older patients, so for a vaccine to be viable, it would need to protect older people against infection. From the Stat News article. Separately, while the Phase 1 trial included healthy volunteers aged 18 to 55 years, the exact ages of these eight people are unknown. If, by chance, they mostly clustered around the younger end of the age spectrum, you might expect a better response to the vaccine than if they were mostly from the senior end of it. And given who is at highest risk from the SARS-CoV-2 coronavirus, protecting older adults is what COVID-19 vaccines need to do. In addition, there was no data released as to the durability of the neutralizing antibodies, and if they're not long-lasting, the utility of the vaccine is negligible. We're going to summarize one cautionary note from an article to follow, that, however, in a minute. Again, from Stat News, the report of neutralizing antibodies in subjects who were vaccinated comes from blood drawn 2 weeks after they received their second dose of vaccine. 2 weeks. Quote, that is very early. We don't know if those antibodies are durable, unquote, said Anna Durbin, D-U-R-B-I-N, a vaccine researcher at Johns Hopkins University. And another point concerns the high degree of variability in neutralizing antibodies among recovered patients. There is a high degree of variability. But studies have shown antibody levels among people who have recovered from the illness vary enormously. The range that may be influenced by the severity of a person's disease. John Jack Rose, a vaccine researcher from Yale University, pointed Stat to a study from China that showed that among 175 recovered COVID-19 patients studied, 10 of them had no detectable neutralizing antibodies. Recovered patients at the other end of the spectrum had really high antibody levels. So the company said the antibody levels induced by vaccine were as good as those generated by infection. There is no real way to know what that comparison means. And when asked, how about more data, they said, well, they are going to release that in a report that will be released with MIAID. Stat asked Moderna for information on the antibody levels it used as a comparator. The response? That will be disclosed in an eventual journal article from MIAID, which is part of the National Institutes of Health. And the aforementioned Anna Durbin was struck by the wording of Moderna's release. Durbin was struck by the wording of the company's statement, pointing to this sentence. The levels of neutralizing antibodies at day 43 were at or above levels generally seen in convalescent serum. I thought, generally, what does that mean? Durbin said. Her question, for the time being, cannot be answered. And the above-mentioned Jack Rose also commented on the opaque nature of Moderna's release. Rose said the company should disclose the information. When a company like Moderna with such incredibly vast resources say they have generated SARS-2 neutralizing antibodies in a human trial, I would really like to see numbers from whatever assay they are using, he said. And still more, apparently not releasing information in scientific journals, but using high-profile media releases is apparently characteristic of the company. Again, quoting Jack Rose and Anna Durbin of Moderna. It doesn't publish on its work in scientific journals. What is known has been disclosed through press releases. That is not enough to generate confidence within the scientific community. My guess, quote, my guess is that their numbers are marginal, or they would say more, Rose said about the company's SARS 2 vaccine, echoing a suspicion that others have about some of the company's other work. Quote, I do think it's a bit of a concern that they haven't published the results of any of their ongoing trials that they mentioned in their press release. They have not published any of that, Durbin noted. And again, the levels of antibodies and the durability of the antibodies developed is of concern. There is an article that it will be included in the written description for this program. I'm going to summarize the key features of it because it is highly technical. The article by Akiko Iwasaki, A-K-I-K-O-I-W-A-S-A-K-I, and Yixin Yang is from Nature Reviews Immunology from April 21st of 2020. It's titled, The Potential Danger of Suboptimal Antibody Responses in COVID-19. Now, this talks about something that was found in connection with SARS, or COV-1. In the original SARS outbreak, we learned that if someone develops antibodies but not at a high enough level to neutralize the infection, that can actually make that infection more severe. This process is known as antibody-dependent enhancement, or ADE. And this only happens when the neutralizing antibody levels are below some threshold. If a vaccine induced an immune response that is not high enough, it could actually make the eventual infections even worse if, in fact, SARS, the COVID-19 and SARS or SARS-CoV-1 turn out to have a similar turned out to be similar in the way the antibodies behave. So again, without more information about what is going on with the Moderna trials, there is reason for at caution at best. Now, a 2016 StatNews article about Moderna raises a number of questions and the speed that they generally like to move, relative secrecy that they have surrounding their product development, and the work culture in the company, which apparently is sort of incendiary with regard to personnel, is a source for concern. This, again, is a Stat News article from September 13th of 2016. So this is about 4 years ago. However, it shows that some of the problems that researchers felt were glaring in the press release by Moderna that led their stock to go up and that also moved the entire market with regard to the press release, because people are frightened and they would certainly like good news that would lead them to look forward to anticipate a return to something like normalcy. Now, from this 2016 StatNews article, it is by Damien Garde, or Garde, G-A-R-D-E, from September 13th of 2016. It's called Ego, Ambition, and Turmoil, Inside One of Biotech's Most Secretive Startups, by Damien Garde. Now, note that Moderna is the highest, at least as of 2016, the highest valued firm of any private biotech firm, and some employees felt that Moderna prized money over science. And bear in mind again that DARPA, the Pentagon, has underwritten a lot of Moderna's work, and also that a 4-star general's tab for this by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff will be working with Monsef Slaoui, the former head of Moderna's Product Development Committee, on the warp operation, warp speed. From this 2016 Ego, Ambition, and Turmoil article from Stat News, Moderna is worth more than any other private biotech in the U.S. And former employees said they felt that Bonzel, that's again Stefan Bonzel, the CEO of Moderna, prized the company's ever-increasing valuation, now approaching $5 billion, that was as of 2016, over its science. Again, they felt that Bonzel prized the company's ever-increasing valuation over its science. Now, again, note the culture of secrecy around Moderna. As of 2016, again, quoting from the article, Moderna just moved its first two potential treatments, both vaccines, into human trials. In keeping with the culture of secrecy, though, executives won't say which diseases the vaccines target, and they had not listed the studies on the public federal registry, clinicaltrials.gov. Listing is optional for phase one trials, which are meant to determine if a drug is safe, but most companies voluntarily disclose their work. Now, one of the pillars of vaccines and treatments have been protein therapies. About that, the Stat News article writes, for decades, companies have endeavored to craft better and better protein therapies, leading to new treatments for cancer, autoimmune disorders, and rare diseases. Such therapies are costly to produce and have many limitations, but they've given rise to a multi-billion dollar industry. The anti-inflammatory Humira, capital H-U-M-I-R-A, the world's top drug at $14 billion in sales a year, is a shining example of protein therapy. Now, Moderna aims at doing an end run around that technology with the injection of mRNA, messenger RNA, or DNA, and that is a risky technology. Again, no vaccine of this kind has ever been tested or has ever been used on human beings. These tests are the first. Moderna's technology, quoting from the Stat News article from 2016, Moderna's technology promised to subvert the whole field, creating therapeutic proteins inside the body instead of in manufacturing plants. The key, harnessing messenger RNA or mRNA. It is highly risky. Big pharma companies had tried similar work and abandoned it because it is exceedingly hard to get RNA into cells without triggering nasty side effects. And note that Bonzel, the head the CEO, has basically maintained the company's culture of professional, the opaque nature of the company's professional culture, and combined that with high-profile media promotion, again from Stat News. Under Bonzel, Moderna has been loath to publish its work in Science or Nature, but enthusiastic to herald its potential on CNBC and CNN, taking part in segments on the world's most disruptive companies and the potential cure for cancer, unquote. Another disturbing thing is the attitude on the part of Moderna to employees, including some prized employees. From the beginning, Bonzel made clear that Moderna's science simply had to work, and that anyone who could not make it work did not belong in the company. The early Moderna was a chaotic, unpredictable workplace, according to former employees. One recalls finding himself out of a job and when a quick turnaround experiment failed to pan out. Another helped train a group of new hires, only to realize that they were his replacements. Most stunning to employees was the abrupt departure of Joseph Bolen, capital B-O-L-E-N, who came aboard in 2013 to lead Moderna's R&D efforts. Bolen was a big-name hire in biotech circles, an experienced chief scientific officer who had guided Millennium Pharmaceuticals to FDA approval for a blockbuster cancer drug. Quote, no scientist in his right mind would leave that job unless there was something wrong with the company's science or with its personnel, said a person close to the company at the time. Bolen was not alone. Chief Information Officer John Reynders, R-E-Y-N-D-E-R-S, joined in 2013 to make Moderna what he called the world's first fully digital biotech, only to step down a year later. Michael Morin, M-O-R-I-N, brought in the lead Moderna's scientific efforts in cancer in 2014, lasted less than 18 months, as did Greg Licholai, L-I-C-H-O-L-A-I, hired in 2015 to direct the company's projects in rare diseases. The latter two key leadership positions remain unfilled. The explanation for that by CFO Lamal Skin, the guy who executed the sale and purchase of 241,000 shares the same day that very optimistic press release from Moderna came out, netting some $19.79 million profit. "We force everyone to grow with the company at unprecedented speed," unquote. Moderna Chief Financial Officer Lamal Skin said, "Some people grow with the company, others don't," unquote. And Moderna has been partnering with a series of pharmaceutical giants, including AstraZeneca. That's when Moderna, which had just 25 employees, signed a staggering 2013. That's when Moderna, which had just 25 employees at the time, signed a staggering $240 million partnership with UK pharmaceutical giant AstraZeneca. It was the most money pharma had ever spent on drugs that had not yet been tested in humans. More about their lavish capitalization. In early 2015, Moderna disclosed a $450 million financing round, the largest ever for a private biotech company. This month, that's September 2016, the company broke its own record, raising another $474 million. Though it has yet to reveal data from a single clinical trial, Moderna is now valued at $4.7 billion, according to PitchBook. And but note that initially Moderna was planning on having their mRNA products administered over a period of years. That changed. From the start, Moderna heralded its ability to produce proteins within cells, which could open up a world of therapeutic targets unreachable by conventional drugs. The most revolutionary treatments, which could challenge the multi-billion-dollar market for protein therapy, would involve repeated doses of mRNA over many years, so a patient's body continued to produce proteins to keep disease at bay. Then they changed the vaccines, apparently, in part at least because of the risk, and that was dissed by the head of Moderna. Again, from the Stat News article from September of 2016. But Moderna's first human trials aren't so ambitious, focusing instead on the crowded field of vaccines where the company has only been working since 2014. The choice to prioritize vaccines came as a disappointment to many in the company, according to a former manager. The plan had been to radically disrupt the biotech industry, the manager said. So, quote, "Why would you start with a clinical program that has very limited upside and lots of competition?" Unquote. And that may very well be because of the risk of the type of technology that Moderna is using, because, again, mRNA vaccines have never been used on human beings. Again, from the Stat News article. Delivery, actually getting RNA into cells, has long bedeviled the whole field. On their own, RNA molecules have a hard time reaching their targets. They work better if they're wrapped in a delivery mechanism such as nanoparticles made of lipids. But those nanoparticles can lead to dangerous side effects, especially if a patient has to take repeated doses over months or years. And that appears, according to some critics, why they are basically focusing on vaccines. Quote, "I would say that mRNA is better suited for diseases where treatment for short duration is sufficiently curative so the toxicities caused by delivery materials are less likely to occur," unquote, said Caitlin Carrico, K-A-R-I-K-O, a pioneer in the field who serves as a vice president at BioNTech. That makes vaccines the lowest hanging fruit in mRNA, said Franz Werner Haas, HAAS, CureVac's chief corporate officer. From our point of view, it's obvious why Moderna started there, he said. And Moderna says, nope, it's the fact that vaccines can be taken to human trials faster, which again is not something I find all that encouraging. Moderna said it prioritized vaccines because they presented the fastest path to human trials, not because of setbacks with other projects. Quote, the notion that Moderna ran into difficulties isn't borne out in reality, said chairman of the board, Nubar Afeyan, F-E-Y-A-N. But this is where Moderna's secrecy comes into play. Until there's published data, only the company and its partners know what the data show. Everyone on the outside is left guessing and in some cases worrying that Moderna won't live up to its hype. And apparently the CEO is very much taken with companies like Tesla, Amazon, and Uber, something I find less than reassuring. Again, from that Stat News article, Moderna has pioneered an automated system modeled on the software Tesla uses to manage orders, Bonsall said. Scientists simply enter the protein they want a cell to express, and testable mRNA arrives within weeks. That has always been part of the plan, former employees said, pointing to Bonsall's fascination with the tech industry. Uber and Amazon were not the first to come up with their respective business ideas, but they were the ones that built enough scale to ward off competition, and Moderna is positioning itself to do the same in mRNA. Now note again that the Operation Warp Speed head Slally held over $10 million in Moderna stock. That was up to $12 million after Monday, and that was criticized. His holdings were criticized by Elizabeth Warren. From Fierce Pharma blog of May 19, 2020, by Eric Saganowski, S-A-G-O-N-O-W-S-K-Y, Warp Speed head Slally challenged for huge conflict of interest, sells off $12.4 million in Moderna stock. Following Monsef Slally's Friday appointment as a co-leader of the Warp Speed program, he set to sell about 155,000 shares in Moderna, according to press reports. They're worth an estimated $10 million on Friday. They were worth an estimated $10 million on Friday, but after Monday's stock run-up on positive early data, they're now valued at about $12.4 million. Following Slally's selection, Senator Elizabeth Warren tweeted that it's, quote, a huge conflict of interest for him to keep the Moderna stock as he assumes the new role. She said he should divest immediately, unquote. In a now-deleted tweet, Slally responded that there, quote, is no conflict of interest and there never has been. Business Insider reports, and he is reportedly going to donate the proceeds from the sale to cancer research. Now, again, conflicts of interest are not exactly foreign to Mr. Slally. He is a big player, described as a venture capitalist, and he is a big player in the pharmaceutical industry, and is not only has some very lucrative holdings in the companies like GlaxoSmithKline, which he used to lead. Interestingly, one, the online edition of the New York Times described him as having 240,000 shares. The Western edition print of the same article said 500,000 shares. Now, again, from the New York Times of May 21st of 2020, an article by Sheila Kaplan, Matthew Goldstein, and Alexandra Stevenson, Trump's vaccine chief has vast ties to drug industry, posing possible conflicts. Now, note the circumstances of his appointment and how this will permit him to avoid scrutiny. In agreeing to accept the position, Dr. Slally did not come on board as a government employee. Instead, He is on a contract receiving a dollar for his service. That leaves him exempt from federal disclosure rules that would require him to list his outside positions, stock holdings, and other potential conflicts. And the contract position is not subject to the same conflict of interest laws and regulations that executive branch employees must follow. And again, he holds a lot of GlaxoSmithKline stock. He used to be the head of that firm. Slowey did not say how much his GSK shares were worth. When he left the company in 2017, he held about 240,000 shares. Again, the Western Print Edition said 500,000 shares and share equivalents, according to the drug company's annual report and an analysis by the executive compensation firm Equilar, E-Q-U-I-L-A-R. Now, of his position, and again, his hiring terms leave him exempt from federal disclosure rules that would require him basically to make public his holdings. Quote, "This is basically absurd," said Virginia Cantor, C-A-N-T-E-R, who's chief ethics counsel for Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Quote, "It allows for no public scrutiny of his conflicts of interest," unquote. Ms. Cantor also said federal law barred government contractors from supervising government employees. Ms. Cantor, a former ethics lawyer in the Obama and Clinton administrations, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and other agencies, pointed out that GlaxoSmithKline's vaccine candidate with Sanofi could wind up competing with other manufacturers vying for government approval and support. Quote, "If he retains stock in companies that are investing in the development of a vaccine, and he's involved in overseeing this process to select the safest vaccine to combat COVID-19, regardless of how wonderful a person he is, we cannot be confident of the integrity of any process in which he is involved," Ms. Camper said. In addition, his affiliation with Medici, that's M-E-D-I-C-X-I, could complicate matters. Two of its investors are GlaxoSmithKline and a division of Johnson & Johnson, which is also developing a potential vaccine. So again, the conflicts of interest there, on top of what we have already seen about Moncef Slaoui, and on top of what we have already seen about Moderna, again, this is something I find less than encouraging. Now, Moderna, not surprisingly, stands to make a whole lot of money off of this. From Barron's of May 19th of 2020, a COVID-19 vaccine could be worth billions for Moderna and its rivals. This is by Bill Alpert, A-L-P-E-R-T. Two interesting things. A lot of them, really. But what investors are betting on for Moderna and others developing vaccines against the SARS-CoV-2 virus is that a third of the developed world's population will get vaccinated every year. That could amount to a $10 billion annual business at an estimated price of $30 per vaccination. That's $10 billion at 30 per vax. Morgan Stanley analysts this past weekend suggested that pricing might start at $5 to $10 a dose during this first pandemic crisis, then rise to a range of $13 to $30 for preventive doses in future years. But at BMO Capital Markets, analyst George Farmer speculated that Moderna could start charging $125 per treatment in the U.S. market and raise that price over time to $200. That old saying, nice work if you can get it. And so far, it looks like they are going to get it. Lastly, about not only the tremendous amount of federal funding that Moderna is getting, but also about the speed with which they are proceeding, which, again, the type of vaccine they are developing has never been used on human beings. No vaccine has ever been developed for human use in less than 4 years. They're planning on doing this by the end of the year. And again, that type of vaccine is seen as highly risky. From CNBC of April 17th of 2020 by Kevin Stankiewicz, S-T-A-N-K-I-E-W-I-C-Z. Moderna soars after getting $483 million in federal funding for coronavirus vaccine development. Instead of waiting for the data and then scaling up with manufacturing process, we can make as many doses as we can. We are doing both in parallel, unquote, he said. The company plans to hire up to 150 people to support the effort. This is Stefan Bancel, the CEO. Bancel said the company couldn't have done this, unquote, without the funding commitment from the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, which is part of the Department of Health and Human Services. Again, the speed with which they are proceeding is alarming in light of the somewhat opaque nature of their disclosures. I would also note that they have been underwritten in part by DARPA. As we looked at in that all-important Whitney Webb article, DARPA has been interested in gene-driving technology, which can promote, improve the genetic material of certain target populations and cause the extermination or the extinction of others. I do not know at all if anything like the gene-driving technology is perhaps covertly being developed by Moderna, if it's perhaps involved with the vaccine. That is pure rumination. But in light of the DARPA and the military links to Operation Warp Speed, the fact that Trump has a vested interest in this because of his reelection, his less-than-impressive scientific pronouncements, and in general, what we have seen about Moderna and the people involved, I am less than optimistic. I should stress that I am not an anti-vaxxer. I think that vaccines are fundamental for the maintenance of human health worldwide, but they have to be properly vetted. They've got to be rigorously and properly vetted, and I don't have a lot of confidence in the process here. Again, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I know that if you step in a fresh cow flop, it is going to stink, and it will be altogether slippery underfoot. This concludes For the Record program number 1131, BioPsyop Apocalypse Now, Part 7, Moderna, Uber Alles. This is being recorded on May 25th of the year 2020. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.